All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for game two between the Giants and the Phillies. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. Doing well, thanks.
Good. Well, you got to Original Joe's this week after a very nice event. Tell us about it.
Well, Brad Manchin and Brian Murphy had a launch party for their terrific book, Buster Posey book, which is the usual great photos by Brad Manchin and some great text as well. Not just from Brian, but the book is full of treasures and contributions from a lot of people, and it was all very nice at Mission Rock. And we're driving home, and we were kind of hungry, and we're just about at the heading out toward the coast there from 280 to Highway 1, and we thought, hey, why don't we look into Joe's? This sounds like a commercial. This is how we act in real life. We go there. The best booth we could imagine in the bar is sitting there waiting for us. And we sit down and had a great dinner. What the hell? It's unbelievable.
I love it. Original Joe's, Westlake, very good.
Yeah.
There were two guys talking ball. That's you and me sitting at the counters. That's what we do.
I did see you there. Sorry I didn't get over there.
Yeah, I just sit at the counter all day long. That's what I do.
Well,
I'll tell you a couple of things. One, you're having quite a week. I want to tell you that. You know, of course, you had the party with Brad and Brian Murphy, launching 28. Then you're included in another very special book. Scott Osler wrote about it yesterday or tweeted about it, and that is the best sports writing of 2022 on a story you did about Mavericks in 2021. How about that? You're included in the book.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It was very, very cool that they allowed a surfing piece in there. I think they're looking for a little diversity, so it's not just the standard topics that everybody's writing about. And it was a very special winter at Mavericks this past winter. Some amazing things happened, especially Peter Mell, who's 50 years old and got one of the greatest rides in the history of the spot. And it just got an awful lot of play around here. Very, very special thing. So, yeah, that was a great honor. I was surprised and pleasantly so.
Well, there are a couple of excerpts about the story. And one that got me was, and I don't know anything about surfing other than, you know, I grew up in Miami Beach, and there were big waves. I would not go in the water, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you said it's a 60-foot drop on a ferocious wave, and who knows what's going to happen, and you better be ready for it, that was good imagery. I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, the big waves really start around 40-foot drop, which is enormous as well in terms of what is a really authentic big wave. But it does get up to 60 feet and even beyond that waves are riding. But the thing about it, I mean, it takes enough skill to successfully ride one of those waves and actually, you know, surf your way out into the channel and raise your arms in triumph. But the worst case scenario is so impossibly difficult. That to me is what's always been the fascination, is that you wipe out on the wave, you're held down, you know, forever. When you finally get back up, boom, there's another one right on top of you. You go right back down. You've got no oxygen, and now you really have no oxygen. And if you don't stay calm, the fear will take all your oxygen away, and you're done. So I mean, it's just it's reserved for the very few, not just for the skill level, but for the tranquility under unbelievable pressure.
Well, great story. Great story. Where is Maverick, by the way? For people who don't know, it's one of the great surfing spots in the world. And, Bruce, of course, you cover it every year. You go down there. Where is it?
Well, as you get off the Devil's Slide heading south in the town of Montero, where I live, it's another about 5 miles to the south, basically in the Princeton Harbor area. It wasn't known for years because it's you can't see it from the highway. You have to drive out and then walk along a trail and then hopefully get up the little cliffside so you can even see it. And, you know, when you do see it, you're like, why would anyone surf out there, you know, with the sharks and the rocks and, you know, the fog and the chilly weather? And nobody did surf it for years. It finally got it was explored by Jeff Clark all by himself for years, like 15 years. No, he couldn't get anybody to go out there with him. I could see that. Why would you go out there? But it did get popularized, and now it's when the waves arrive, it's not like you can go out there and see the big waves. I mean, it's a very special occasion when the wind and the weather and the waves all come together as one. But and when you do, when that happens, it has become one of the great big wave spots in the world, and it's still very difficult to see. And there's a little bluff that you can walk up, but that gets kind of crowded very quickly. And even there, you're a long way away. But to be out there as a big wave surfer and you want to make a mark for yourself, that you've got to prove yourself out there, and it's a hell of a challenge.
Mm. Well, I could see why your story was included in one of the best sports articles, columns of 2022. So very nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
On that.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, the other thing was, and I saw some of the tweets this morning with you and Lowell Cohn of watching Serena Williams last night. I must say, and I admitted on the show, when it was 11-0 or 12-0, I said, you know something? I'm going to watch the tennis. Because I couldn't get Apple TV anyway. That's another challenge. Yeah. But so I turned it on, and it was one of the most compelling sports matches I've ever seen. Serena Williams loses. It's her last match, U.S. Open. And you couldn't put her away. It was just incredible to me, that the drama and tension, and frankly, it was a little better than the Philly Giant game at that point.
Just a little bit, yeah. I don't think I can recall any brand of drama more intense than for someone who was losing 5-1 in the final set, and indeed lost 6-1. I mean, Serena fought off 5 match points. She's hitting these rockets, you know, with the match on the line, and with really nothing to lose, and the crowd was going crazy celebrating her career. And so I was writing about that, and I was updating a column. I couldn't start the Giants game on time. And when I did, after I'd finished writing, it was 8-0. And I go, well, I'd kind of like to go back to the beginning and see, you know, Peterson's home run and Crawford and Longoria. And I couldn't figure out how to do it. I've heard other people say the same thing. One person wrote and said, I was able to watch it from the start, but I think that might be when the game is completely over. It's just a mess. And, you know, if you did tune in, you had to put up with the stupid graphics, and every single pitch, the probability in the lower right-hand corner. Grounded a double play probability, 25%. No, wait, 30%. 28%. Well, ball one, 40%. You kidding? God, that's horrendous.
Oh, goodness. Well, but you did write about Serena. I want to read it. I think you did a column, didn't you, on Serena?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. All right, let's talk a little baseball here, as we do every Saturday and Sunday, with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Well, the Giants get a win last night, 13-1. It is September, and I said to Susan when she was on, you know, Bill King always told me, don't fall in love in March or September, because, you know, it's a whole different type of game going on there. But the Giants did win 13-1, and the game snapped a 7-game losing streak, and at least you feel a little better.
Yeah, well, I think fans would settle for a one-night stand right now, you know, and fall in love too easily, because there's nothing else going on. I don't know who that is. They're going to be bringing up some kids, I think, eventually, and that'll be fun. But it's absolutely true. But, you know, the good part about last night was that they weren't relying on these young guys. It was Crawford and you know, Peterson putting one in the water, and Longoria and Cobb, and the kind of, you know, Giants game that we haven't seen enough of. And, you know, it's this wild card thing is getting so wild. Arizona is now ahead of the Giants, not by much, but they've actually crept slightly ahead. So, you know, 13-1 feels pretty good amidst all this mess.
Bruce, what do you do with Jock Peterson? He's had a good week. He's a few splash hits this week, 97th of the team history here into the Cove. McCovey Cove Dave, as I've said a couple of times, got the ball last night. But what do you do with Jock Peterson? What's he worth on the market, and do the Giants absolutely bring him back?
Well, I'm reading that there's a possibility of it. I mean, it had been sort of assumed that this was it for him, and maybe some grousing about, you know, why didn't they trade him when they could have gotten something instead of losing him for nothing. But now there's talk that he might stay. I mean, I really like Jock Peterson. I mostly like everything he's done up to this season. I mean, you can't disappear for a month when they need you and then all of a sudden hit home runs when it's over. That's not acceptable. His slump was unacceptable. And what lasted way too long. And so that's kind of the front burner item with him. You know, looking at it overall, assuming the team isn't going to, they're not going to bring in, you know, Juan Soto. They're not going to bring up, a Vaughn Grissom or a Jake McCarthy or any of these young guys who are making a splash in the bigs. So, you know, I don't think he'd look too bad with the Giants next year. It's not exciting, but, you know, he's a guy with a great track record, and he's a local guy. He's likable. He lights up the place a little bit. You know, just a little more consistency. I could see it, but, you know, I wouldn't say it's potentially thrilling prospect. He's not a good outfielder, and, you know, it's just it doesn't really register when you look at what some of the other teams are doing and mm-hmm. who they're bringing up and what their plans are for the next 2 or 3 years. The Giants are awfully – they're at a level below all that, and I don't think bringing back Jock Peterson moves the needle a whole lot.
Yeah, good point. In fact, the Bill King quote really applies to Peterson as well, because it is September, and they started this a few days ago. But you don't watch what someone does now. It's what they do during the heart of the season. That's a good point on Peterson. And he did not do much during the heart of the season. So, all right, well, we'll see where it goes with that. Well, they did get Lewis Brinson, so put him on the list of players who have, you know, at one point in his life, he got a bunch of hits. It may have been in Pony League, but he did get a bunch of hits, so I think we can help him. So he's here now. But I'll tell you one thing, Bruce. He's an athlete. Now, he's 29, but at least he can run. He can catch. He's got some power. He's an athlete, and he's not a base-to-base guy. The guy can actually do something. So I'm not going to fall in love in September, but I'd like to see him play.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'5". He's not a young guy. I think he's 28 or something. 29. He was a big prospect for Miami, first-round pick. Yeah, and, you know, it was like, what's not to like with this guy? He hits for power. He can run. He can do it all. And it didn't really happen for him. He says he's made some adjustments. He's not striking out as much. And this is a good, really good chance for him because, you know, they'll play him. If he looks any good at all, he'll get some time. So, I think just a clean single to center and thousands of people are in love.
A flare. They called it a flare.
Yeah, I don't know about a flare. I'm talking about a rocket up the gap. That would be good.
Right.
A triple.
Box,
a dramatic triple, and he's in.
Just something. I just want to see something. All right. You know, it is funny, though, because every other team in baseball bring up minor leaguers and, you know, guys who have some chance. And for the Giants, they bring up none of their minor leaguers, not one of them, other than David Villar, who we've seen before. I thought that was somewhat telling.
Well, yeah, I don't you think Ramos will be up at some point? I mean, it seems.
Hope so.
Yeah, I mean, has not impressed really anywhere this season in any dramatic way, and that's probably why we're not seeing him right now. But I would expect that. But I mean, the guys they've got are not quite there. Kyle Harrison might be there next year. Luciano, of course, is coming. They have a third baseman named Casey Schmidt, who is really impressive, especially defensively. Andy Baggerly wrote about an outfielder named Vaughn Brown, who really sounds interesting, who can run like crazy. He's built like a rock and hits for power and is a late bloomer. They've got a bunch of guys in the minors that are interesting, but they're not on the verge, and they might not be on the team, you know, next April. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, it doesn't compare to a lot of, you know, the Orioles bring up a kid, Gunnar Henderson, and already he's the coach
him?
Of the town.
Did you see his home run?
Yeah. The helmet comes off, the hair's flying.
The helmet comes off every at bat.
Why are you wearing the damn thing?
Yeah, he's Willie Mays. A Willie. Yeah. Willie always got a cap that was too small, so the hat would fall, come off. But this guy, Gunnar Henderson, he's a left-handed hitter. Yeah. And he looks like Syndergaard, who's pitching today. Yeah. He has that look. Uh-huh. And he just crushes one and then gets another hit. And as soon as he gets out of the box, the helmet's off.
Oh, yeah, the fans going crazy. Last night he made two really nice defensive plays.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah, then, you know, you see these guys coming up and making an instant impact. I did mention Vaughn Grissom with the Braves is really interesting. You know, Arizona's got a whole new outfield of young guys that can play. You know, McCarthy is in there, and Thomas, it's happening everywhere but here.
Yeah. No, it is. It is, and that, but it will happen eventually, just not happening now.
Right.
And I brought that up before, you know, 4 years into the Farham regime, and we're still talking about 2024 or 25, so... it is something to keep your eye on. Now, let's put it that way. That's how I look at it. A couple of things around baseball. One, Pujols hit another one, Bruce, 694. And he's, you know, here we go. It's September, and I think he's going to get A-Rod for sure.
He'll get 696,
Yeah, but, boy, he may get to 700. You know that?
Oh, that would be the greatest. I tell you, no lefty is fooling this guy.
No.
And he's going to play. They're going to stick him in there as often as they can against lefties. I wouldn't be at all surprised. It would be so great if he gets to 700, and then he kind of wants to retire. It's hard right now because, you know, the Cardinals are in it, and he's a big star, and he lights up the clubhouse, and he's just he's so very, very special. It'd be a shame to have him, you know, at 699. You almost have to come back just to hit a ceremonial homer.
Yeah, wouldn't that would be something. You know, if he got to 699, he would have to come back.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, you'd have to. All right. The Phillies. Well, Zach Wheeler is out now, and he was supposed to pitch on September 6th. He's their number one guy. And he's still got a little arm issue, and they're resting him, and he's not going to pitch September 6th. This Philly rotation, Bruce, and I saw some of the games, you know, in Arizona. They've given up 40 runs in the last four games. Not good for the Phillies right now, and Syndergaard gets a big start today to try to do something for them.
That is big. I mean, I think Nola is capable of being, you know, the number one guy and pitching and acting like it. But they just got raked by Arizona. We'll see about Syndergaard. That's a big, really big start for him because, you know, they're right on the verge of this thing, and they're the third playoff team right now. But Milwaukee's chasing them, and. I like the team in general. I love the lineup. They kind of did go a little bit too quiet in recent days, but that's not going to last. I mean, they could put up 10 runs a day in a heartbeat. But the pitching's probably going to be the reason that they don't go farther. I mean, you know, San Diego's got all kinds of good starters. Atlanta, you know, they'll throw Spencer Strider out there, and
he's our guy.
Stuck out 16 the other night, Marty.
Come
oh, my
on.
God.
We discovered him in April, remember?
We did. Yeah. We did. We discovered him actually in high school.
It was in long relief. I said, watch out for the Spencer. No walks, 16 strikeouts in the game this week. How about that?
Jeez, yeah. He's got people looking up, you know, when was the last time this guy did that, this and that. And obviously pitching is going to decide it. And, you know, the Dodgers have some pitching issues too. They're gonna win the thing, but I mean, you know, Gonsolin's got some issues, and Gratterall went out. Kershaw is back, but maybe not all the way back. Dustin May gave up a couple bombs last night against the Padres, so you know they've got some issues, but pitching's going to decide it. And I think the Phillies will, you know, they'll probably make the postseason, but they could go out quickly.
Yeah, 1-6 on their lineup is very good. Yeah. Schwarber missed a ball in left field last night that Peterson hit that sort of opened up the floodgates to that inning. But Kyle Gibson, he was upset when they took him out. I mean, the guy threw 65 pitches and got five outs. You know, he gave up seven runs. You know, he wanted to stay in. But, yeah, the Phillies have some challenges. But 1-6, they are pretty darn good. 1-6 are good, and they're in the infield. They're catching the ball. The outfield is somewhat of a mystery.
Yeah, but Harper's going to make a big difference, though. Harper's going to get him into the playoffs. He's back, and he's had some big hits already. He's just one of those. He's a man for the moment. And they have improved their defense a little bit, which they had to do. But that lineup is great, and when Harper and Schwarber are going good, man, it's really fearsome.
Yep, I'll have Schwarber on the show today with Reese Hoskins.
No, there's another guy, yeah.
Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, I'm telling you, you forget about everybody. You know, all of a sudden you say, oh, yeah, what about him? And that, you know, that's the way they play. I thought Harper did some. Now, I didn't see it last night because I couldn't watch the game, but Luis Gonzalez is pitching, apparently, and Harper says it's enough of these position players pitching, and he bunted and didn't really run down the first base sort of as a protest. Did that happen?
Wow. I don't know. I had trouble with the game, too. I tried to call it up and watch it from the beginning, but it was live, and it was 8-0. I said, you know, forget Apple TV. I think I can go without it tonight.
Yeah,
so I didn't see it either, but... That's interesting. I mean, you know, any kind of protest against that, I'm for, even if it reaches the stage of farce. But it is a farce when it happens, and you know, we could live with it for all these years when it was kind of a novelty and didn't happen very often. But it's really a matter of routine now, and it tarnishes the game. I like your idea. If you're going to do that, just call it off.
Yep, that's the end. It's over.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, the Giants put Gonzalez in a game they were winning.
Yeah.
So yeah, come on. Just, Harleen Garcia threw 12 pitches in the eighth inning. You think you could bring him out for the ninth?
Yeah, I know. That's just the saving arms is unbelievable.
It's reached the point of
just paranoia and fear ruling the game and holding pitchers back, and it's just really a shame.
Mm. Boy, New York baseball. How about the Yankees, Bruce? This is a team. They're 15-25 last 40, 9-19 in their last 28. They get walloped 9-0 by Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, Bruce, is four back in the loss column from the Yankees. They were like 15 or 16 behind the Yankees, and they're four back in the loss column, and Toronto's six back in the loss column. How about that?
No, it's unbelievable. I mean, and the Yanks they're playing Tampa Bay right now. That could close even more. It could be two in the loss column after the weekend. I don't know if they play Monday or what, but yeah, I mean, I tell you, Tampa Bay, if they get Franco back from that wrist injury, has really been lasting a little longer than anyone thought, and then Tyler Glasnow is ready to come back. He's got unbelievable stuff, and he could be ready to light up a few people. Great pitcher there, so they're kind of on the upswing with help coming. And the Yankees are just, you know, Aaron Boone said it's just embarrassing the way they're playing. You know, you throw Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and Donaldson out there, and you do nothing. I mean, it's really bizarre. I went out there that night, the A's game. They got one hit in 10 innings. It's hard to explain because you expect these guys to, you know, put together a collective streak and just go ahead and polish off that division title, but. God, it's going to be a real interesting September because they just they're really lacking something. They had it earlier, and then you lose it, you get it back. Who knows?
Mm. Boy, they just don't score runs. They just don't score runs. And I wonder if they. I think they're going to lose this thing, Bruce. If I had to name the Tampa Bay starting lineup, I could give you G-Man Choi and Lowe,
Rosarena
and Margot, and I'm done after that.
I'm pretty much right there with you. I think they had Brian Phillips, and he's gone now. He's kind of an entertaining guy. But, yeah, Kiermaier's out for the year. But I'm telling you, Wander Franco, we've forgotten about him. He's one of the great young prospects in the game and great shortstop. If he comes back and gets in that lineup and they add Glasnow, we'll know a few more names because you won't be able to avoid him.
No, this is one. We'll talk more about this, I'm sure, as the month goes on. A lot of good, interesting races. Believe me, playoff races, wild card. This is what September baseball is all about. Even with all the college football and Cal playing UC Davis today, which will take a lot of attention. You know that. But I'm only kidding on that, by the way. But
it's my alma mater, and I might not get around to it.
I know. Okay. There's a lot of interesting baseball still in September. All right, one last thing on the historical note on today's date, and I remember this one so well. The Count, John Montefusco, made his debut in 1974 against the Dodgers in relief and pitched a great game and hit a home run. How about that? The Count is on his way.
The Count, yeah, it's a great story. He was coming up through the system. He's in Phoenix, and he's out in the mound. He's kind of fussing and fuming, and the manager, Rocky Bridges, one of the great characters, comes out and goes, "Will you stop worrying about it? The Giants just called, and you're going up to the big leagues." Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, it's September. He gets to Dodger Stadium about an hour before the game, and you know, and Ron Bryant started the game and completely made a mess of it. He's walking the ballpark. It's down. He's allowed four runs, and so they bring in Montefusco like right away. And he had a great comment that I saw. He goes, you know, it wasn't like it is today where every pitches are protected and everything. But we went out every fourth day, wherever you were in the minors, and they didn't care if you threw 160 pitches. That's just the way it was. And then you come back 4 days later and your arm's fine. Forget about it. Anyway, he comes in. He pitched nine. He went nine innings in relief, wins the game, homers off Charlie Huff and Al Michaels, God bless him, who was broadcasting the Giants, the Count of Montefusco. Perfect. It's just a great nickname and a great character. And it was great because he was a Yankee fan from Jersey. He hated the Dodgers. And he made a habit of beating the Dodgers. He won that game that night. He had three wins against them. The next year, he had a 1-0 shutout against Messersmith. And as I said, he had no problem, you know, going the distance. If you took him out, he was, like, insulted. And he had some really fun years with the Giants. Great character. And you know, we could use more guys like him.
Well, he got us through the 70s, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you take Ed Halicki, the jolly green giant, you know, him and, you know, a few of the others. But, boy, the count, when the count took the mound and the count spoke and he backed it up and Johnny said, Johnny Bench can't hit me, and Johnny Bench hit one about 700 feet. So it was good.
That's great, though.
Yeah, it was great theater. And this tonight, today is his the anniversary of his debut. I remember it. It was a Saturday night on TV. And it was captivating. The beginning.
Yeah,
of
everything about him was just to hear him talk, and there was somebody said there's like a little electric field around him. He's just he's one of those guys who matters, and he did matter for the Giants for a long time.
Yeah, his post-playing days were a little bizarre.
They were,
but we won't even go there. All right, hey, great to talk with you. We got so much more to talk about tomorrow. We'll have a lot of fun. So have a great afternoon. I hope Cal does well today. I know Bonnie and Greg and Noah and Ruby are going to the game today. So
oh,
I hope Cal does well. All right, thanks, Bruce.
You bet. Talk then, Marty.
All right, thank you. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always fun to talk anything with him. You know, that's the point. He's just a man of all sports and all interests. All right, Reese Hoskins is coming up next. Reese Hoskins of the Phillies, come on, 26 home runs, 66 RBIs, 814 OPS. He is arbitration eligible this year, then a free agent after that for 2024. He's a Northern California kid, and he's a big part of the Phillies. So Reese Hoskins will join us next right here on the Sports Leader.